Well, good morning to all of you. A warm welcome to our morning service. Lovely to see you, and we trust you'll be blessed as you worship God with us this morning. We have a special guest who is going to be our speaker. So you're going to get a break from me this morning. There you are. You don't want to go, oh, that's a shame. Never mind. Anyway, well, let's get, thank you. Checks in the mail, very good, right? Okay. But on a serious point, it is lovely to have James Waddell, who's going to be speaking about the work of compassion. I didn't actually realise that James is a fellow Scot, and I have nothing to do with this. This is just how it's worked out. Please believe me. And he even comes from the same part of Scotland that I do, so I've a few stories of home, which has been nice. But we do warmly welcome you, James, and we look forward very much to what God's going to be speaking to us through you this morning. Notices for the week are on the sheet. If you haven't got one, there are at the entrances and exits to the building, and the rest of you will have it in email form. So please just read that and be aware of what is happening in the church this coming week. Well, after that, let's stand and praise God together. We're going to sing a couple of songs: Jesus, Hope of the Nations, and then Far and Near, and then Jesus, Be the Sent. And let's stand and worship the living God together.
You are the source of heaven's hope and love.
please do be seated. Well, let's continue as we come and we pray together. Let us pray. Lord, indeed we come before you this morning and we ask that you would indeed be our source, our light, our life, our guide, and our joy. Lord, we know that without you in our lives, Lord, our lives are not all that they have been created and redeemed to be. Lord, we ask and we pray that, Lord, you would always help us to live ever mindful, Lord, of the price that you paid to set us free from our sin. That, living God, we might have that joy within our hearts, Lord, constantly, as we think about, Lord, what you have done for us and its meaning for us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to renew, Lord, our commitment, Lord, to follow you as free and faithful disciples. We ask you would help us, Lord, therefore, to cast off the sin that would so easily ensnare and entangle. That, Father, we would run that race that you have set before us, keeping, Lord, our eyes firmly fixed upon you. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us, Lord, for the distractions, Lord, of this life and of this world that, Lord, often get in the way of following you. For that, Lord, we are sorry and we ask, Lord, for your cleansing and for your forgiveness afresh. Lord, we pray that you would renew us also by your Holy Spirit and give to us that desire that we might follow you, Lord, more closely and more faithfully. Lord, we thank you, Lord, also for the gifts that, Lord, you have given to us, Lord, not just in salvation, Lord, wonderful though that is, but, Lord, also the many blessings with which you have showered us, Lord, down through the years of our lives. Lord, as we are going to hear this morning, Lord, there are many who have only a fraction, Lord, of what we have and would love to have the blessings and the advantages that we have been given. Lord, we thank you for these things. Forgive us for the fact that we often take them for granted and take them as our right when, Lord, you have given us these things by your grace. We remember, Lord, this morning those who do not have, Lord, some of the things that we do, and we recognize that, Lord, we are a richly and greatly blessed people. And for that, Lord, we give to you our thanks. Lord, we ask that you would help us, Lord, now as we continue in our worship to focus our mind and our thinking upon you. Lord, be high and lifted up, Lord, in our worship, in our praise, and, Lord, as we would gather in time around your living word. May we meet with you again, Lord Jesus, the living Lord who delights to speak to his people and in whose name we humbly pray and in his name we gather now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to have our all-age slot. I'm going to hand over to James and let him say what he's going to say to us now. Thank you, James.
Well, good morning. Great to be here. I think this is the all-age slot, so we're going to ignore the adults for just 5 minutes, and we're going to talk to those that, I know it's all-age, but we're going to talk to the youngsters just for a few minutes. But I need a little bit of help, and I'm hoping that, oh yeah, I've got some volunteers already. Actually, I'm going to unashamedly bribe you, and I hope you don't mind. Oh, by the way, you may have had a rest from Stuart this morning. You're not getting a rest from this accent. I'm really sorry about that. There's not a lot I can do about it. Believe me, I have tried. I've lived in England for over 40 years. You would think I'd just got off the bus, wouldn't you? But anyway, here I am. So who's going to come and help me? I'm going to bribe you. I have no shame at all. Who would like a balloon? You want to come to the front and help me out here? Anybody else going to come and help me out? Yeah, excellent. Thank you so much. Let's come and have a wee seat down here for a minute. Okay. Do I sit down? What's your name?
Thomas.
Joshua. I'm going to be preaching from Joshua today. That's cracking. Okay. So, how good... I want to ask you a question and I want an honest answer, right? You're in church. How good are you at sharing your stuff? When you've got something that's really yours and you love it, how good are you at sharing it with your sister or your brother or your friends?
Not very good.
Not very good. That's a good answer, actually. That's exactly what I wanted. Well, I've got a story this morning about how I was taught by my mum and dad to be really much better at sharing. And many, many years ago, what age are you?
Seven.
And you are? Four. Wow. Well, I was probably just about a year older than you are, Josh. I was 5 years of age and I was walking to school with my mum. My sister was with me. And she was actually your age. She was 4, I was 5. We were on our way to school. And we didn't get, this is where you go, We didn't get much when we were your age. There wasn't a lot around. And in Glasgow, my dad was a shipyard worker. My mum was a seamstress. So there wasn't a lot of spare money for lots of treats. But one morning, and I don't know the reason why, we were allowed to have some sweets. They were called, I don't know if you remember them, Spangles. You have to be of a certain age. Oh, I've got your tape now. You have to be a certain age to remember Spangles. Well, we were given a packet of Spangles each. And I thought, ooh, I'm not really keen on Spangles. And I did the face. There's a face that you pull when you're not that. Is that it? Is that all I'm going to get? So, not getting sweets very often, I got a packet of Spangles, and my mum saw my face, and in an instant, she snatched them back out of my hand, and she gave them to another mum and little boy who was walking in the opposite direction. That's my sweets. You didn't want them. Your face told me you didn't want those sweets, so, well, what am I going to get now? You're not getting anything. That's it. In the meantime, my sister, 4 years of age, smart cookie right enough, she starts eating these Spangles. These are delicious, she says. And I'm looking at them wishing I'd got Spangles, but I never. Because I was ungrateful and my sister wouldn't share those Spangles all day. All day she was eating these things and she was loving them. So, I was taught a lesson, now that must have been nearly 50 years ago. And there was another very, very quick story. On a similar vein, my dad, who was on the same page as my mum, we were bought a packet of crisps. And in those days, it was plain or it was cheese and onion, and that was it. There wasn't, do you like cheese and onion? Walker's cheese and onion have got to be the best ever, aren't they? Well, anyway, Walker's cheese, I got a packet of cheese and onion crisps. My dad had bought them for me, and I started to eat these crisps, and he said, can I have one? And again, the face, you'd think I would have learned a lesson by now, but I played my face. No, they're mine. And he said, who bought those crisps? You did. Can I have a crisp? Yes. So I put the bag out, and he had these massive hands. Have you ever been to the fun fair and you see these grabbers that go down and they pick up, they try to pick up the things in the, my dad had hands like that.
It's impossible.
It wasn't impossible. Him get the crisps, I can tell you. He put his hand in this bag and he came out with this massive, I think I had about 2 crisps left in the bottom of the bag. I was taught a lesson about sharing and being grateful. So, who would like a balloon? I bribed you to come and have a balloon, didn't I?
Okay.
There you go. There's those balloons. That's great, isn't it? You've got 2 balloons. How many you got? You've not got a balloon, have you? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh. What do you think, the man who's not very good at sharing, what do you think you should do with those balloons? Well, yeah, you can chuck it out, but you can also have it. So, you both got a balloon now, and the moral of the tale is, and the Bible talks about this, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus says, whatever you've got, share it. Now, I'm not saying that you go away and do what I did as a kid when the rag and bone man came round and I gave away my best jumper to get a balloon. I'm not suggesting you do that. But if you've got extra and you don't know what to do with it, maybe somebody somewhere, we can be sharing it. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to share. He wants us to share love. He wants us to share a smile. He wants us to share what we have when we've got more than we need. So, enjoy your balloon. Don't blow it up right now. I did that mistake once before, where they started blowing up the balloons in the middle of the service. So, enjoy the balloon. Thank you so much for helping me out, Thomas and Joshua. A big hand for Thomas and Joshua. Thank you very much. Is there another one going on? No. Okay. You can go and sit back down again. Thank you. Right.
Well, I'm going to I think you and I are about the same age, I think, James. There we go. Anyway, lots to think about, and we're very grateful to James for that. We're going to stand and sing our next song together. After that, James is going to come and read from Scripture, and the younger folks are free to leave at that point. But before we do that, let's stand and sing Reconciled and Reconciled to God Forever. To leave, and we will turn to the book of Joshua in a moment or two as James reads God's word to us.
Just move straight to preaching.
No, sorry.
We'll read a passage together from Joshua chapter 14 and verses 6 to 13. Joshua 14, 6 to 13. This is the story of Joshua and Caleb, and they've come through crossed the Red Sea, the Jericho, and they're now at this place where there's the next promise before them. So, now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Amen.
Thank you, James. And we know that God will add his blessing to his word. We're going to again pray. Again, there's always much to pray for in terms of our land and its needs and also the world situation. And let's again come and intercede before our Heavenly Father this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of might and a God of power. A God who sees the end from the beginning and who understands, Lord, the secret entangled motives of the hearts of men. And so, Lord, because of these things, we come before you now, knowing that as we pray, Lord, for the world that we live in and for which Christ died, Lord, your understanding is far greater than ours. But yet, Lord, as you have encouraged us and commanded us in your word to do, Lord, we pray that we would live peaceful lives, that the gospel would go forward in power. We pray, Lord, for our nation at this time. Lord, there is so much, Lord, disharmony and discord and division that is being sown, Lord, amongst the people of our country at this time. We pray, O living God, that that would cease. We pray, Lord, that there would be those who would, Lord, be agents of peace, those who would speak wisely, graciously, healing words that would promote that, Lord, and not words that would stoke and promote division. We pray, living God, for those who are elected officials. Whatever we may think of them, Lord, nevertheless, Lord, they are there because you have put them there. They are there, Lord, for the season in which you have allowed their power to be demonstrated and displayed. We pray, O living God, that they would seek the counsel of the Most High, Lord, even if it is against their will. We pray, Lord, for those who are believers and who walk with you and know you. We pray that, Lord, they would have that godly influence, O Lord, that would, Lord, bring flavour and savour, Lord, to our national life and discourse, that would halt the decay that we see, Lord, on all fronts, Lord, and that saddens our hearts at this time. We pray, living God, also for the international situation. We pray, Lord, for the broken land of Afghanistan. Lord, it is bad enough, but, Lord, now it's had two earthquakes as well. We pray, O living God, for that shattered kingdom. We pray that, Lord, in the midst of this humanitarian disaster, Lord, that good would yet, in some way that we cannot see yet, would come from it. We pray, living God, for a softening of the hearts, Lord, of the Taliban regime, and that, Lord, it might lead to a change to something more positive with regard to that. We pray, Lord, for those who are on the ground seeking to bring healing and reconstruction. We pray, Lord, for them. We remember, Lord, also again at the land of Ukraine, Lord, and we see, Lord, in the east of the country, things coming, Lord, to a conclusion, Lord, inevitably as it will. We pray, O Lord, into that situation, that, Lord, it might mark the beginning of perhaps the attempts, Lord, for peace and reconciliation, and again, Lord, for the rebuilding of that shattered land and communities, Lord, within it. We remember, Lord, those Ukrainian refugees that have come and sought sanctuary, Lord, here amongst us in Oni, and who are, Lord, trying to rebuild their lives. We pray for them as they seek work, as they seek, Lord, to learn the language, as they seek to place their children in school, as they seek, Lord, just to find a home and a place of peace and a security to live in. Lord, we pray for them. Lord, we thank you that as a church, Lord, we're able to play our part in a small way in that, and we pray that, Lord, they would find, Lord, amongst us and in our wonderful facilities you've given to us, a place of refuge, blessing, and of Christian welcome. We pray, Lord, for the other parts of the world too, where, Lord, there are conflicts going on that we are not maybe too aware of at this time. We pray, Lord, for them, and we pray for peace. We pray, Lord, again for the bitterly divided land of America, Lord, as we see, Lord, what has been going on there in the last few days, Lord, and, Lord, how it saddens our hearts, Lord, to see a nation, Lord, tearing itself apart. Lord, we just pray, O Lord, again, Lord, for those who have leadership responsibilities, that, Lord, again, they would act wisely, Lord, and graciously, Lord, in these difficult days for that country as well. We remember, Lord, the parts of the world where, Lord, they are suffering from natural disaster, Lord, because we live in a fallen world, or because of man's foolishness and selfishness and greed. We pray, Lord, for them too. That, Lord, those who have lost their homes, their businesses, their loved ones, Lord, whatever, would know your grace and your comfort, Lord, in these days. We think, Lord, also of our own community at this time too. We pray, Lord, for those amongst us in our church family who are unwell at this time. Lord, those who are in hospital, Lord, those who are having treatment or awaiting results, we pray, Lord, for them and for their loved ones who support them. Lord, may they know your grace and peace and sustaining power and presence at this time. We remember our young people as well. We thank you for them, for their life and vitality and the promise, Lord, that is within them. We pray that, Lord, as they, Lord, have time, Lord, in gig this morning and in Sunday club, that they would hear, Lord, that which would challenge their young hearts and would encourage them, Lord, to give their lives to you while they are young, that they might walk in the path of righteousness and, Lord, of fruitfulness, Lord, in you, in the things of your Spirit. We pray, Lord, finally for ourselves also this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your servant who has come amongst us, and we pray that you would give him great liberty and anointing in the Spirit as he would share, Lord, from your word, and also the work of compassion that he represents. We look forward to that, and we just pray, oh God, that you would speak something powerful and significant into our hearts and lives as your people that we can take forward into the week in our life and service for you. So, Lord, for all these things we do ask and pray as we continue, Lord, now to worship you, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Now, before James comes and speaks to us, we're going to stand again and sing one more song, focusing on the world that we're living in, and I think James will be, no doubt, referring to beauty from brokenness. And let's stand and sing together.
be seated. Well, first of all, I want to thank Stuart and the leadership here for inviting me back to Baptist Church here in Olney. You may not remember, but I was here about 4 years, just under 4 years ago. That was pre-pandemic. We've now got a new timetable in life. It's either happened before the pandemic or it's happened not quite after. We're not quite through it yet. As I heard this morning, even one or two of the congregation here took COVID this week. So we're not fully through it, but we're moving through it. And everything seems to be punctuated now by it happened before or it's happened since. And the last time I was here was before the pandemic, before we'd even heard of something called COVID or the coronavirus. Now it's part of our everyday language. But at that time when we came and we talked about compassion, I wanted to just thank you for inviting me back again and also to give the opportunity to say thank you for the support, the prayers, the financial commitment that a number of you have made to compassion in that intervening period. There are 6 children being supported from folks here at Olney Baptist Church, and we'll talk a little bit more about what that means for a child to be supported, to be sponsored by someone, and the difference that it makes in their lives. But for those of you who have not heard of compassion, we are a Christian organisation, and there are 3 C's that always help me, at least, to remember what compassion is really about and how we go about trying to work in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to see lives transformed. First of all, we are Christ-centred. We are unashamedly Christian. The reason we do what we do, the reason I do what I do, is because Jesus first loved me and he's now given me the opportunity to serve him and to outwork his purposes for my life. We are a Christ-centered organization. Secondly, we are also church-based. The Bible is clear, certainly the New Testament is clear, that God's mandate for reaching the poor, to the least and the lost, it is through the local church. Whether it's a local church here, or it's a local church in Uganda, or Tanzania, or any other part of the world, God has empowered the local church by the power of his Holy Spirit to reach out to the least and the lost, to take salvation, to take redemption, but also that holistic gospel that Jesus took when he was on earth, when he wanted to see people healed, he wanted to see them fed, he wanted to see them ministered to in every single way. And so we work only through the local church in the countries where we're based. And thirdly, we are child-focused. That third C, we are child-focused. There are a lot of people in this world, and we see it on our news, and we were praying about some of those things just earlier on. There are a lot of people in this world who are disadvantaged, who are the least, who are very, very vulnerable. But history tells us, and our own experience would tell us, that actually children are the most vulnerable of the vulnerable. They don't have a voice in many, many cases. They don't have the ability or the opportunity to help themselves. It's really up to adults to look after children, the most vulnerable in any society. So we are child focused because actually we believe that as we minister to children and as they grow up with everything that the Compassion Program delivers to them, then they will become strong, independent adults, able not only to look after their own family, but to be involved in the local communities that they are part of. And to see change and transformation at grassroots level moving out into communities across the world. And there are now more than 8,000 local churches who partner with Compassion to see transformation in a way that we could never have dreamed possible. Making a difference to lives, to families, to communities, giving a hope and a future where before there was no hope and no future. And what I want to do this morning is just to turn briefly to God's word and to unpack a little bit about what God might be saying to us this morning in response to what the gospel has brought to our lives and how we can get involved and should be involved, both the responsibility and privilege of being involved in ministering to one another and to our local communities. And the passage in which we read in Joshua chapter 14, we see here Joshua and Caleb are together. And they are in this place where they have the opportunity to revisit a promise that God gave them a long, long time ago. They've come through the wilderness experience. They have wandered for 40 years. And maybe for some of us, the coronavirus pandemic has felt a little bit like wandering for a couple of years, and we're just going round and round in circles, and where every day has seemed to be the same. Another Zoom meeting or another, I remember the excitement of the weekly shop and actually getting out and going to Sainsbury's and actually seeing people and knowing that you weren't completely on your own. And life for some of us, for many of us, it might have seemed that we've been through a little bit of a wilderness experience in these last few years. But actually now, as we begin to emerge out of this quite dark period, not only for this community or this country, but worldwide, we have some choices to make about what our life might well be like going forward. So we're moving through this. We're no longer restricted to home. We're no longer socially distancing ourselves or wearing masks or using sanitizer all the time. And life is moving back to something like normal. But just like Caleb here in this passage, when he's been wandering, there is a decision to make. There is a path before him, and it's God's purpose. And he has a choice to make about whether he moves into that purpose or whether he doesn't. There's a story that talks about 50 95-year-olds were asked a question. They were asked, if you could do life again, if you could turn back the clock, what would you do differently? Now, there's a question, isn't it? And you're all sort of looking and thinking and saying, whoa, I maybe probably wouldn't make that decision, or I wouldn't work for that employer, or I wouldn't. Various things are springing to our mind. But these 95-year-olds, they were asked with the blessing of hindsight, that 2020 vision that they had, what would you do differently? And they come up with three clear themes. And they weren't what we might think. They weren't, oh, I'd have more children, I'd have less children, I'd marry that person, I'd buy this house. It wasn't around those things. They actually got quite philosophical about it. And there were three main things. And we're going to look at those three things from Caleb's eyes in this scripture. The first thing they said is that they would reflect more. Secondly, they said that they would risk more. And thirdly, they said they would invest more. And here in the passage that we see before us, the passage that we read together from Joshua 14, we can actually see all of these three points here. And Caleb is in exactly the same situation as these 50, 95-year-olds. The first thing that he sees is he reflects more. In verse 10 of the passage that we read, it says, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time I was with Moses in the wilderness. Now, he says, just as the Lord promised. He was remembering something that God had promised him. He was reflecting, he was pondering, and he was keeping it very much in mind and in his heart. Don't know about you, but I was telling stories to the children there, and I look back and I think 40 years seems to have gone pretty quickly, but it's quite a long time to hold on to a promise, That's a long time to hold on to something. And here we see Caleb has held on to a promise that God gave him through Moses 40 years earlier when they were on the verge of moving into the promised land. And then as a people, they decided they were not going to do it. They didn't have enough faith. They didn't have enough confidence in God's promise and in God's strength and in God's might to move into what God had promised. And for 40 years, they wandered around, eating the same food, wearing the same shoes, wondering when life was going to change. And yet here is Caleb in verse 10 of this passage, and he is remembering, not from a wistful, oh, if only, but from a, I've got a second opportunity in life. I'm here again. I've got the same promise before me. I've kept this promise in my heart and in focus for 40 years. God's purpose for me is to move to this place and to take this land for him and for generations to come. He was determined, and the wandering in the wilderness did not in any way diminish that determination to move into God's purpose for his life. Wandering in the pandemic, it's only been 2 years or two and a bit years and not 40. But maybe there are other things in your life as well and in my life where I look back and I think, God, you promised me this. You determined that you were going to bring some purpose to my life. And here I am again. And you want me to move into that place. And I can believe that Caleb, in his remembering, was praying. As he's wandering around, he's praying, Lord, I want to go back to that place because I want to take that land for you. Eventually, here he is, he's at that place. And he has continued to pray and to keep in mind God's plan and purpose for his life for 40 years. My sister was the first person to get converted in our home in Glasgow. We lived in a place called Kinning Park. It was sort of near the town centre, tenement flats. It wasn't the most salubrious upbringing, but I thank God for loving parents that invested in our lives. And they sent us to Sunday school. In those days, Sunday school was separate from the church service in the morning. So 3 o'clock every Sunday afternoon, we were sent to Sunday school. Now, we thought that's because our parents loved us, but they wanted a bit of peace and quiet, quite frankly. There was 4 of us in a 2-roomed house, and we were driving one another mental. And any chance that they got to get a bit of peace, get them out of the way. So we went to Sunday school faithfully, and it was fantastic. It was 200 kids in this little hall, and we just had a whale of a time. But my sister, my eldest sister, she was the first person to get converted, who recognized the call of Jesus on her life, and she gave her heart and life to Jesus. She was 12 years of age. And she began to pray. She began to pray for the rest of our family. And one by one, my next sister underneath her, she got converted. And then my youngest sister got converted. And then my mum got converted. I was a bit slower. It took me a little while. But I got there. Thank you, Lord. He did eventually, through his spirit, reach into my life and change it. But my dad is a Glasgow shipyard worker. And you can picture what that might mean for his life. He was a lovely man, a caring man, but you didn't do stuff like that. That was for women and children. But my sister, she prayed 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years. Eventually, just before he died, my father gave his heart and life to the Lord. After 25 years of faithful praying, my sister did not lose sight of God. You promised that my family were going to come to know you. I am going to pray every single one of them into your kingdom. She was faithful to the promise that God had given her. And we are all blessed and recipients of that in our family. What has God been promising you? Are you also praying for a loved one?
and you've been praying faithfully for a long, long time. Are you praying for God's intervention into something in which he has promised you? You see, we see here that Caleb was promised this mountain. This particular mountain. Not any mountain. Not every mountain, but a particular and specific mountain. Lord, give me this because you have promised it. And there may well be something that God has promised to you for your life, for your family, for your situation. And it seemed a long, long time. Well, hold on to that promise. God always delivers on his promises. They are yea and amen, the Bible tells us. They will be fulfilled in Christ. Be heartened, but be focused. Keep that purpose that God has planned for you in your life. I stand here today having taken a different path from what God promised me when I was in my early 20s. God promised me a certain path, and I decided I was going to go on another one. Well, some 40 years later, the sat-nav has been reconfigured, and I've gone round the houses, and I've gone up, and I've gone down, and I've gone back, and I've gone forward, but eventually I stand here before you, and I'm fulfilling part of God's promise that he made to me in my life. It is never too late, folks. It is never too late in God's economy and in God's timing to see his promises fulfilled for your life, the things that he has promised to you. The second thing that we see here is that these 95-year-olds wished they had risked more. We've just talked about the pandemic, and we've talked about where we've become more and more risk-averse for obvious and good reason for the last couple of years. But it's sort of gone to another place. You know, gone are the days when you, well, at least it happened in my family, you kicked the kids out. In summer holidays, you kicked them out at 9 o'clock in the morning. They come back when they were hungry. And they got on with climbing trees and doing whatever it was they did. And I'm not saying that we should be just ignoring the world that we live in. But we've become a bit risk averse. I was on a plane coming back from Ireland just the other week. And I bought a packet of nuts on this plane for a bit of a snack. And you know what was on the packet of nuts. You could probably tell me, be careful, this might contain nuts. Well, I think I had worked that out. I'm not that thick. We are risk averse. Be careful. Be careful of this danger. Be careful of that danger. And I'm not saying that that is entirely wrong. But you know, life is risky. Since the fall, life has been risky. It comes with its challenges and its situations and its dangers. You know, and in a sense, God intended it to be risky. Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants us to have faith in him to see plans and purposes outworked. But it might well be a really uncomfortable, difficult and even dangerous journey that we walk in Christ. Read Paul's letters and the challenges that he faced as an apostle taking the gospel to the nations. You can read about his shipwrecks and his beatings and all the different things that he had to endure for the sake of the gospel of Christ. And he counted himself thankful and blessed. He rejoiced in his suffering, he said. Being in Christ is not a comfortable, hermeneutically sealed world where no danger, no difficulties, no challenges come to us. We are not spared from any of those things. And actually, there are times that for the gospel, we need to stand up and we need to risk a bit more. I include myself in that. There are times when I could have had that conversation with a work colleague and I walked away from it. And I felt ashamed. Paul talks about not being ashamed of the gospel. And I've been in that situation where I've been ashamed and not able to speak up for Christ. And the hurt that that brought me over time. The gospel demands that we risk. But there's joy and there's blessing in it. Caleb, give me this mountain. He wasn't going to get that mountain given to him. Talks about going into a battle. He is going to battle the enemy for the mountain that God has promised. And if we want to do anything for God's kingdom, I can assure you the enemy will be there to be battled. History tells us that. Our own life experience tells us that if we go into battle for Christ, there will be an enemy. But thank God, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. I've reached an age now where I could take my pension. It's nice. But you know, in the kingdom, cocoa and slippers, God's never heard of cocoa and slippers in the kingdom. We are warriors. We are followers. We are disciples. He has a plan and a purpose for us, irrespective of our age, our circumstances, or our background. And in fact, God's plan and purpose for you right now, for me right now, he wants us to embrace it. And it may be something that was promised a long time ago, and he wants you to go back and embrace it. Give me this mountain. Give it to me now. I'm 85 years of age, but I'm ready. I'm ready for the battle. I'm ready for taking this mountain because God, you are with me. God wants us to have lives of great significance, touching those in your family, in your neighborhood, in the community here, and further afield. God wants us to have lives of significance. Nelson Mandela says, "What counts in life is not the mere fact that we have lived. It is the difference we have made to the lives of others that will determine the significance of the life we lead." What are we sowing in to others? To have a life of significance in Christ. Thirdly, these folks said, I would reflect more, I would think and I would ponder, and I would maybe make different choices. I would risk more. I don't want a safe life where I achieve nothing. I would risk more. But thirdly, they said that we would invest more. Verse 9 of the passage in which we read together. "So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" Caleb was investing in God's kingdom, not only for God, not only for himself, but for the lives of others. This is an inheritance for your children and your children's children. The true value of our lives is the difference that we make in the lives of others. God has invested each and every one of us with gift, with talent. Why? Because he wants us to invest it in the lives of others. Maybe your gift is a gift of hospitality and service, or it's positive words of affirmation, or it's a gift of time. We live in a world where even though we've come through a pandemic and all we seem to feel as though all we had was time, time goes fast. Time is precious. And maybe there's somebody in your life that just needs a little bit of your time, your undivided, undiluted attention. Listen to them. I've just gone through a coaching course. I've been doing a coaching course at Oxford. That sounds posh, doesn't it? It's not really. But anyway, I did this coaching course and I found out quite a lot about myself that wasn't particularly brilliant. I talk too much. I don't listen very good. Pretty much a reflector. And all of those different, but one thing that I have realized as I've been coaching some individuals in the organization that I work for, every single one of them has said, it's just fantastic to have somebody who's listening to me. who's just taken the time to listen to me. Folks, that is a precious thing, and we've all been given it. Every single one of us have been given it, irrespective of age. A gift of time, a gift of service. It might be financial, but investing in the lives of others, leaving a legacy. The world talks a lot about leaving legacies, and maybe we've got a home that we can leave someone, or we've got some money in the bank that we can leave some folks. But this is not what God is talking about here when he's talking about a legacy and inheritance. My mum was, she wasn't one of these 95-year-olds, but she was 95 when she died last year. She died through COVID. It was a sad time. But she lived a full, vibrant life. Right up until she was 95, she hated the pandemic because she couldn't get out, get on the bus and go and see her pals. That was her thing. And 95 years of age, she wasn't even 5 feet tall. Little Glasgow woman, got her little three-wheeler to walk up the road. All that sort of stuff going on. The world wouldn't look at her as being completely insignificant. They would walk past her, think, what's she ever done in life? Particularly today when we've got social media that tells everybody about how brilliant my life is. Wouldn't you like my life to be like that? Your life to be like my life? The world is full of folks shouting about how wonderful their life is. Well, my mum, at 95 years of age, you wouldn't have thought she had a wonderful life, but she did. Next week, 31 of her family, 31 of her children, our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren are going to get together for the first time since the pandemic. I am so excited about next weekend. First time we've been able to do it. My mum won't be there, but she will be there in spirit. Believe that. But she invested all of her life in those 31. And every single one of them know and love the Lord. Every single one of them are in a good place. Every single one of them have got a life and a future because this little woman, little seamstress, invested all of her life in order that our children, our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren would have a better life, but more importantly, we would know Christ as their Saviour. That's my mum's legacy. She never owned a home. She's never owned a car. She didn't go on foreign holidays. She never had any money to leave, except the stuff that was under the carpet and the stuff that was in the cooker that we found as we were emptying the home. She never left much. And yet look at the effect and the impact her life has had. Folks, invest in those who are around you. Invest in your family. Invest in your community. Invest in one another. Don't look at how the world looks at your investment. What does God think of your investment? Are you storing up your riches in heaven because of those godly investments that you're making in the lives of others? Caleb was determined to have this hill country for his children and for his children's children. He wanted that mountain not for himself but for others. And we here have an opportunity in life today to be investing in God's kingdom and to see what God can do with our lives and through our lives. Just as I draw to a close, there's a short video that I want to show, and then I will bring this time to a close and we'll sing our final hymn and then have the benediction. But this short video is actually about four lives that have been invested in by folks like yourself who took out a sponsorship with a young life. They didn't know them. They weren't familiar with them. They knew nothing about them. They were just given a profile one day and they said, okay, I'm going to do that. I can do that. And four young lives were transformed. And this morning I'm here for compassion. And I'm encouraging you and I'm exhorting you to invest in the life of your family, your community here and beyond. And I'd also encourage you as you watch this film and think, can I invest in the life of someone I don't even know? A child that needs hope and a future. Well, as you watch this, and then we'll bring the service to a close. So thank you if we can have that video now.
In a given week, we'll go at least for 3 days without food.
The friends that I played with in the neighborhood got captured and was being trained to become child soldiers.
we would beg our parents just to buy one apple, but even the rotten ones we could not afford to buy.
In a period of 18 months, I lost my small brother Patrick, my mom, and I lost my stepdad because of the terrifying disease of HIV/AIDS.
When my mother died, I was lost. I was looking for hope, for God to just show me that everything was going to be okay, not knowing what tomorrow will look like, not knowing whether I would have a home, whether we would live to see the next day.
I don't know why Aaron Rito decided to sponsor me, but when he did, my whole life changed.
A group of people from Compassion showed up at my church.
They said, you're going to go to school, and then somebody's going to write to you.
I don't have to worry about whether my parents would have enough money to keep me going to school.
Even if I get sick, someone was there to take care of me.
I felt safe. I felt wanted.
My sponsor is Edwin Bunny.
Maria and Hanshu.
Aaron, me too.
Five women from a Lutheran church that were sponsoring me.
I am now a physical therapist and I'm working in a hospital.
Clinical social worker.
I was the first child in my family to go to high school, to go to college.
I have a bachelor and a master in biomedical engineering, a second master in engineering management, and they called me into ministry, so I had to go and get a third master.
I have a ministry called Youth Arise Africa that works with boys who don't have father figures.
We opened a small school. It's not providing the same opportunity that Compassion provided to me so that they too can break out of the cycle of poverty. Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me.
You do for me. You did for me.
You did it for me. Sponsor a child today to break the cycle of poverty in a child's life, like my sponsor did for me.
It's a powerful video of four young lives that have been transformed because someone somewhere said, I can sponsor that child. Thank you for the folks who are already supporting Compassion here from this fellowship. We appreciate it. I can assure you that those six young lives that you are supporting, today they can receive education, healthcare, social and spiritual development because of what you are doing for them. You may never meet them this side of heaven, but I can assure you their lives are being transformed because of your generosity, your prayers, your letter writing. And this morning, as we draw the service to a close, I have a number of other young children that are looking to have that same support. Someone like Kwabena, who is 9 years of age. He comes from Ghana. He lives with his mum, single mum, and she's working with him to see his life transformed. And for less than a pound a day, education, healthcare, all the things that we have here in this country, thank God for what we have in this country. The legacy of previous generations praying and changing the world so that we could have an education and an access to healthcare. We can maybe complain about the NHS a bit, but it's free at the point of need. Thank God for that. What a legacy that is for many who invested in it. And for these children, by investing in their lives, they will have access to education, healthcare, and all those other things that will build them into young men and young women that are going to make a difference and be significant in their own communities. I'll be at the table at the back there, I think near where you're going to have tea and coffee. If you have any questions about Compassion, any questions about sponsoring, please come and see me. Don't leave me standing there on my own with a cup of tea. Come and say hello at the very least, and we can share more of what God is doing through the work of Compassion. Thank you for the time that we have spent together. We're going to close our service with one more hymn. Number 604, it's Who Can Sound the Depths of Sorrow.
Number 604, who can sound the depths of sorrow, will rise to sing. I realise you don't have books, you don't need them anymore. So you don't need to know the number. So let's rise and sing this final hymn as we bring our worship time together to a close. Give you thanks that you are a God of mercy, you're a God of grace, you're a God of love, but you're also a God of justice. Lord, we thank you that you have brought your grace and your mercy and your love and your justice into our lives. And Lord, this morning as we bring our service to a close, Lord, let those words ring in our hearts. That there is a plan and there is a purpose for each and every one of us. And that you want us to walk into that best place for us and to be people of significance in our communities. People who will bring the gospel of light into the darkness of the world in which we live. So Lord, empower us by your Holy Spirit. Embolden us by your Holy Spirit. Give us faith, again by your Holy Spirit, to walk into that truth and into that purpose. Pray, Lord, that the blessing of Christ will be on each and every one of us, and that the Holy Spirit will go out with us through into this week, partnering with us in taking the gospel to those in which we come into contact with. We pray this for your name's sake, for your glory. Amen. Amen.